I belong to you. My life belongs to you. I belong to you. Father, thank you that we belong to you. Father, we thank you that we belong to you. How we honor and worship you tonight. Lord, we belong to you. Our circumstances belong to you. Our family belong to you. Our bank accounts belong to you. Our pantries, they belong to you. Where we live belongs to you. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we belong to you. Thank you, Jesus. And we acknowledge that tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We allow a weight to come off of us in Jesus' name. Any weights that says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And if he cares for you, you can cast that off. You can cast that off. Lord, I belong to you. I don't care what the news says. I belong to you. I don't care what's going on in America, Europe, South America, in my own neighborhood. I belong to you, Father God. I've got angels on my left. I've got angels on my right protecting me. I got the Holy Ghost leading me. I got the Spirit of truth leading me. I shall not be deceived because I belong to him. And so we thank you for that. Lord, that's our act of worship tonight. Lord, that's our act of a sacrifice, is simply saying we belong to you. And so we thank you for that tonight, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Aren't you glad you belong to him?
Amen.
Aren't you glad to hear a crying baby?
Yes.
It's awesome. Some of you are probably crying today in your own way. We won't go any further. Everybody having a good week? A powerful week? Amen. I'm just so thankful that when we worship together and everything, and no matter what's going on, that isn't he faithful? Today, just last few days, letting things get underneath my skin. Ever done that? And then just play some worship songs, and the Lord just reminded me, just his grace and his love, and saying, Lord, you know, nothing's changed between me and him. There's nothing like that. Him just reminding me, you know, his presence, his goodness, him taking care of me, his leading and guiding me. One day, this old world's going to have its last day. You know, the clock's going to click its last second. And then into eternity. Amen. For God, it never did start ticking and never started anyway. The only clock that ticks is us, right? Usins. You know what usins is, right? What is usins? That's plural for us. Only in Chino Valley do you have a plural for us. And it's usins. Bob, they don't use the word usins in Prescott, do they? I didn't think so. Man, we are on John session 19. Oh, how I love the Word of God. Saints, oh, how I love His Word. It says that His Word, the Word, what's in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Did you hear that? Sharper than any two-edged sword. There's some sharp swords out there. I've seen some sharp swords. But it says sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even a dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Man, he can by his word and by his spirit, we can know when it's the spirit's leading us or it's just our soul realm, the soul realm that hasn't been renewed. I'm so glad that the word of God is quick and powerful. Lord, I pray that the word of God tonight would be quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. So thank God it said, it didn't say that Chad is sharper than any two-edged sword. It didn't say that Shelby was sharper than any two-edged sword, right? And so it says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. Emily's not here tonight, so I have to pick on you. I'm sorry. And John Harris isn't here, so... You're third in line now. You know that, don't you? You're my default. Anyway, so we're in John chapter 4 and verse 5. We're in John, the Gospel of John, not 1st or 2nd or 3rd John, not Revelation, the Revelator John, but in In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 5 says, so he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And I had a map there, but I didn't include it, John, so don't worry, you probably see that. And then verse 6, it says, and you do have it. I didn't think I even said that. So we're just talking about where Jesus started out from here in Judea and went through Samaria and was headed to Galilee. And so he's going through Samaria. And then it says in verse 6, thank you for that, John. I didn't even know I sent that. And Jacob's well was there, verse 6, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired from his journey, was just sitting by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And so this is the part where the woman, he's going to see the woman at the well. But he's in Samaria, right? So he's getting ready to see a Samaritan. And so I just want to read a little bit. I've included, but I'm just going to read this because we hear about Samaritans and Israelites. And so what's the difference? Well, you know, what's the difference? So let's just read a little bit about Wednesday night. We can do this, right? We can learn a little bit about Israelites and Samaritans. So it says, the nation of Israel was divided into two nations in the days of Rehoboam. That was the son of, you'll see the son of David. And then we had, gosh, my mind, David. And David's son was Solomon. So this was Solomon's son, Rehoboam. So Israel was composed of the 10 tribes to the north, okay? And Judah was made up of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. The animosity between the Jews, inhabitants of the Judah, the southern kingdom, and Israelites began immediately after the division, as Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom, with Jeroboam as her first king. So Rehoboam, boy, those names are similar, aren't they? Rehoboam assembled an army to make war against Israel to reunite the kingdom, but God intervened through his prophet Shemaiah. Later, in speaking of the reign of Abijam, Jeroboam's son, says there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. So let me just stop right there, because I know that doesn't mean much. But what happened is Solomon, great King Solomon, was very harsh on the Israelites in working them, and he didn't treat them well towards. As you know, at the end, you know, he pretty much ended up backslidden, and he had all these wives, and he made all these different. All these different temples for the worship of his wives' gods. Can you believe that? And though anyway, so when Solomon died and Rehoboam became king, well, the Israelites came to him and said, "Hey, we're glad to serve you, but lighten up a little bit. This just has not been fun." It was fun for Solomon. He gathered all this gold, all this wealth. So Solomon, if you realize, he gathered all these things, but it really was at the expense of the Israelites. And so they came to him and said, "Hey, look, if you'll lighten up, we'll be glad to have you as our king." Well, he said, "Well, you know, come back in a few days and I'll give you my answer." And so he had some of the older advisors said, "Hey, listen to what they're saying. Some of what they're saying is true. You need to change the way you lead from the way that Solomon led." And then the younger guys, the guys that he grew up with, the young guys know everything, right? They said, "Dad, don't listen to them. What you need to tell them is, hey, you think things were hard underneath my dad. Wait till I get done with you." And so because he had that response, there was a civil war, basically. There was a split. And so now we had Israel from that point on and Judah. So Judah being the, and they had Jerusalem, and Judah and Benjamin and the other 10 tribes were the northern tribes, and that's what became Samaria. So let's continue reading. Does that make sense? I'm sure you all knew that, but it was a great reminder for me. So immediately after the division, Jeroboam changed the worship of the Israelites. That's the future Samaritans, okay? That's not Judah. So the Israelites, so immediately after the division, Jeroboam changed the worship of the Israelites And it goes in 1 Kings. You can read that in 1 Kings 12, 25 through 33. No longer did the inhabitants of the north travel to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice and worship. And that's in Deuteronomy. Instead, Jeroboam set up idols in Dan and Bethel. So what he did is he actually made two gold calves. You know, God had made him king, actually, of the northern. If you read that, it's saying, God said, I'm the one who's allowed this to happen. And so, but he was concerned, you know, about any of the people in the ten tribes of north and the northern tribes of wanting to realign back with Judah, with Jerusalem, because of the temple. So he said he made two golden calves and said, "Okay, ten tribes, this is your God now." And it caused that caused a big problem, grieved God's heart, and God didn't design that, didn't want that, obviously. So it says later, after Israel's fall to the Assyrians, they began to intermarry with the Assyrians. So contrary to Deuteronomy 7, 3 through 5, this is why the Jews hated the Samaritans, just one of them, as dogs, or even called them half-breeds. The Samaritans were also a continuous source of difficulty to the Jews who rebuilt Jerusalem. So after they were in captivity, remember 70 years, then they came back and built the second temple. Well, the Samaritans and those around them were really were against them, were trying to stop them from rebuilding that temple, the Samaritans. So they called them dogs or half-breeds. The Samaritans were also a continuous source of difficulty to the Jews who rebuilt Jerusalem after returning from the Babylonian captivity. So eventually the religion of the Samaritans evolved to the point that they held only the Pentateuch, that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, as being the law of God, rejecting all the books of poetry and prophecy. Furthermore, they claim their copy of the Pentateuch was the only original copy, a claim still made today by which few Samaritans still survive. Obviously, this was a claim rejected by the Jews. And so you can see that they intermarried. They weren't going to down to Jerusalem to worship anymore. And they didn't believe, they only believed in the five books of Moses being scripture for them. The rest of them, you know, Psalms, probably, they were no longer considered part of the tribe of David. David came from what? The tribe of Judah. And so they said, hey, we're okay with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, but Psalms and some of these other ones and Proverbs we're not okay with. Isaiah, these different books, we're not okay with. And so you can see that there was now this disliking of Samaritans. So the Jews were basically, from the Judah at the time of Jesus, were saying, you Samaritans, you're not part of us. You may have a little bit of blood. You don't even have that much. You intermarried with the Assyrians, who we hate. They hated the Assyrians. Remember the Assyrians? That's who God put this guy on a boat to preach to Nineveh. You guys remember that guy? Jonah, and he was swallowed by a whale, I guess, because he hated the Assyrians. Well, ends up that the Samaritans end up mingling with him, because what happened is the Assyrians came down and they defeated in war and took over the Israelites. But God protected the tribe of Judah at that time and Benjamin, because they had this king named Hezekiah. You guys remember Hezekiah, whose heart was towards God? And so when the Assyrians came down and said, did you see what happened to the 10 tribes of Israel? That's what's going to happen to you. And God said through Isaiah, said, it ain't happening. Matter of fact, things end up happening, and that boastful king went back to Nineveh or wherever he was from, and he was killed. So he was killed shortly after that. I say all that to give you a little bit of history. The Jews didn't want to hang out with the Samaritans. And before I get going, it's interesting how a lawyer or somebody who said to Jesus, and who's my neighbor? And what did Jesus gave a little example, a little story. Remember, he says, well, there was a Levite who came upon somebody who had been beaten, right? And he just went around the Levite. And then there, who was the next one? A priest. A priest saw this guy beaten and left for dead on the road, and he just went around him, said, thank you very much, but no thank you. And then what did Jesus say next? That the third guy was a Samaritan. So we hear this wonderful story of the Good Samaritan, which is awesome. But if you put yourselves in the mind and put yourself in that position at that time of a Jew, they're like, no, that's our enemy. And Jesus say, no, because of that guy's heart, that was your neighbor. And so even God, during while he was walking on this earth, started to break open things and reveal that, hey, he's going to give a chance for everybody to be saved, Gentiles, Jews, and even Samaritans. And even them dogs, they called them, Samaritan. Amen? So God given that example, who my neighbor is. I bet that went down. I bet that when Jesus said that, I bet that went, what's the word I'm looking for? That went over like a lead balloon. A lot of the things that Jesus said didn't go over well, did they? Amen. So now we're at the woman at the well. I'm going to read this, and Lord, help me to explain a few things. There's something that God was saying here, I'm telling you, that is powerful. So the woman at the well, verse 7, chapter 4. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. So the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, though you are a Jew, are asking me for a drink, though I am a Samaritan woman? And now we know why that makes sense, right? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus replied to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. In other words, you would have said, no, you give me a drink. That's basically what we're saying. So Jesus was saying, hey, give me a drink. And he said, hey, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who was standing before you, you would be saying, give me a drink. Give me a drink. Right? Amen. She said to him, verse 11, she said to him, sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater. I'm sorry, verse 10. Jesus replied to her, if you knew the gift of God, who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sorry, guys. She said to him, sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life. It's interesting because Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked me for a drink. You know, under the old covenant, there was a drink offering that you brought. And so when I read that, I just immediately went here, because the things that God says are not by accident. I mean, I don't know all the words and all the dialogue that happened between Jesus and this Samaritan woman, because we don't hear much about it. But I can guarantee you there was a lot more dialogue. But the Holy Spirit gave us exactly what we are to hear and what we're to understand and perceive with this story. And so the first thing is, Jesus said, give me a drink. But because he said, I am the gift of God, if you'd known the gift of God, it just opens up a whole new potential understanding. So man brought gifts under the Levitical covenant, right? The law. And one of those things was called a drink offering. Are you guys familiar with a drink offering? So in Leviticus 23:37, it says, these are the Lord's special feasts. He had these different special feasts, right? When there will be holy meetings and when you bring offerings made by fire to the Lord, You will bring whole burnt offerings, grain offerings, sacrifices, and drink offerings, each at the right time. So every bloody sacrifice was to be accompanied by a grain and drink offering. Did you know that? Every sacrifice had a drink offering with it. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that for a second. So number one, you had the drink offering that you had to bring. Number two, obviously you had the gift the men had to bring as sacrificial gift, right? Jesus replied to her, if you know the gift of God. So what he started to explain, what he was opening up is, when under the old covenant, you had to bring a drink offering and you had to bring a gift. You had to. You had to out of your flocks. Or if you didn't have flocks, you know, a dove or whatever. But you had to bring a gift. But Jesus opens up and said, if you knew the gift of God here, things could be a little bit different. You would start to see things a little bit different. Numbers 15, 4 and 5 says this. The one who brings his gift will bring to the Lord a grain gift of 1/10 part of a basket of fine flour mixed with 1/4 part of a large jar of oil, and make ready 1/4 part of a large jar of wine to pour over the burnt offering or for each lamb given on the altar in worship. So when they had that burnt offering, they would pour that oil and they would pour that like a gallon of like wine. And when you pour something like water or wine on a fire, what happens? All this steam. You see that steam that went up, it says that it was a savor, a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. So you'd have that burnt offering, you'd have all the blood that would come out of that animal, and then they would burn it and they would pour that wine and that oil, and then they would and then God would say, okay, there was a sacrifice made for your sin, Bubba and Bubette. But it was only going to suffice for a while. And so you'd have that steam and sweet savor. Something, an animal, something innocent, something without spot or wrinkle, died, shed its blood in your mind's place. Amen? Under the old covenant. So God was saying here, what he was saying, if you knew the gift. So what Jesus was saying, I'm the gift. I'm the drink offering. See, when he said, give me a drink, he said, well, you don't have a bucket and I can't do it. And what are you doing here, a Samaritan? Then Jesus turned it around and says, if you knew the gift, if you knew what I meant, what I accomplished, I'll be giving you the drink. See, the gift no longer comes at your hand or my hand. It all comes down to his hand, the gift that he gives. So still sometimes we'll be thinking that we've got to bring a gift, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. No, we got to start right at the point of this. He has brought every gift that we need to walk now in salvation, to be accepted, to be blessed, to be filled, to be strengthened, to be led, because he brought the ultimate gift, and he brought that drink offering. And now when we're worshiping today, we took a drink. I did. I don't know about you, but I took a drink. See, before I had to bring the offering, I had to bring the drink offering. But now he, because he's the gift, he brings the drink offering. And I said, Lord, give me more. My cup overfloweth. In Psalms 23, Lord, he pours and pours and pours because he is the drink offering. Amen. And so my understanding in when I struggle, when things are rough, I say, Lord, give me a drink because your presence is always with me. I can't give you anything anymore except myself, the drink offering. If you knew the gift of God, you'd take a drink. Saints, let us remember that if we remember day by day the gift of God and what he accomplished for us, we can say, Lord, give me a drink. Strengthen to me today. Give me peace today. Father, make me an overcomer in Jesus' name. In spite of myself, I thank you that I belong to you. Amen. Lord, give me a drink. But religion will keep saying, no, you've got to bring something. You've got to bring something. You've got to bring something. No, I'm starting to learn. This is what I do. Lord, you brought the ultimate gift. And you gave the drink offering. It said when Jesus was on that cross, it was a sweet-smelling savor. Wow. Until once and final. Never again. Never again. Never again. Never again. Hallelujah. Amen. So what Jesus was saying, I'm the gift, I'm the drink offering. See, God provided the gift. Isaiah 53:10, the first part of that verse, which you know all this, so it's a wonderful reminder, saints. Yes, it pleased the Lord. Listen, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Talking about Jesus. Wow. He has put him to grief when you made his soul as an offering for sin. God's gift to you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave as a gift. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Saints, given that gift. I'm learning as I grow to him, as I grow in him, I growed up in him, as I just keep coming to his gift. I've learned not to, I used to always try to give and bring some kind of gift to please him, religion says. No, I'm learning, Lord, I just keep reminding myself that, of the gift that you are. Let's move on. Let's move on. Some good stuff here. We got some time. Jesus was that drink offering. John 19:34. This is, you know, he hung on the cross, right? Yet one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. That's the drink offering right there. They had to put oil, they had to put wine on that offering. Steam. What does blood and water mix look like? What would that look like? Look like wine. It looked like wine. See, when I used to always wonder what that pierced and that blood and water flowed, that was the drink offering. So we, during the Old Testament, you'd have to take that wine and you pour it, like I said. When he's hung on the cross and took those stripes for my sickness, that crown of thorns, and then they pierced his side, there comes that drink offering coming, pouring out before God. The final drink offering. Isn't that awesome, saints? That right there was the final drink offering. Blood and water flowed. A representation in the old covenant when they pour that wine over them. But Jesus being the final sacrifice, the gift of God, he died, he shed his blood, he died, and then the last thing, put that water. Last thing what they do? And a drink offering came out. Who gave that drink offering? Jesus freely gave himself as that drink, as that sacrifice, as that. Saints, is there really any gift that you and I can give him? No, what I'm starting, well, let's move. I'm going to talk more about that. Let's move on. Do we know that what giving our lives as an offering means? So Romans 12:1, we know, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Amen. Given our lives. To me, it's saying, Lord, I belong to you. I give my gifts to you. No sacrifice on my part is meant to pay any price for righteousness, but because I am righteous, I give my gifts to you. Let me qualify this. See, it says, using our gifts for his glory. That's our spiritual sacrifice. Matter of fact, so he gave the ultimate gift, and the only thing I can give to him now is the gifts that God's already given me. See, everything I have belongs to him, right? I know that my bank account, he provided it. That's what I realize. Boy, it sure takes a lot of stress off me when I realize he provided it. It was a gift he gave me. Many different gifts and abilities that you and I have, amen? Ephesians 4:7-8 says this, but grace was given to each one. Say grace. God's unmerited favor. I love his grace. You love his grace? Lord, give me more grace. Unmerited favor. I need it. Bring it on, Lord. I believe in it. Thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. But grace was given to each one. Say each one. Each one is your name. Each one. You're an each one. I'm an each one. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Whose gifts? Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to you and I. Before he died, you had to keep giving gifts. Keep giving gifts. But when he became the ultimate sacrifice, the gift of God, he turned around and gave gifts to you and I. He turned around and gave gifts and abilities and things in the Holy Spirit. He became a sure foundation. He became our priest. He became our God. We became his children. We become under Abraham, that covenant of Abraham. And now he's given us gifts. I'm telling you, saints, you can't give him anything to be righteous. He gave gifts unto men, you and I. We're in the old covenant, gift after gift after gift, and now he's pouring out gifts upon you and I. Saying right here that when he left, he led a host of captives. Many people think that he took the people that were in a paradise and brought them to heaven. Others think that maybe he went and preached in hell and took some people from there. But the last thing it says, and he gave gifts to men. Say thank you, Lord, for your gifts. I'm telling you, he is giving gifts and things for each one of us. Gifts. Did you know he's given you gifts? Many gifts. And you can't look down on those gifts. It's like remember the potter and the clay, and then when the clay says, what are you making? I don't like what you're making. Well, you're not the potter, you're the clay, right? It's along that same line. 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, who says you are better than others? This is Paul talking to those 1 Corinthians because they had it all in a bag of chips. Who says you are better than others? ? What do you have that was not given to you? And if it was given to you, why do you brag as if you did not receive it as a gift? See, he was talking about all these. He goes on and says, you guys are ruling like kings. He says, I wish we were ruling like kings right with you. He says, but I'm apostle, and unfortunate apostle is like the scum of the earth. He says, everything that we went through, sometimes I'm hungry, sometimes I'm fed, sometimes I'm cold, sometimes I'm warm. He says, me being an apostle is not all of what it's cut out to be. But he was saying, he says, who are you, these gifts? Why do you act like you're all that? Everything that you and I have, saints, is a gift. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts. And as we acknowledge those gifts that he's given us, I believe he wants to give us more gifts. But see, when we don't acknowledge them, we're his children. Where he's not wanting us to be spoiled. You know what spoiled means? Like you're no good anymore. He doesn't want us being spoiled brats, right? As we acknowledge him as the gifts and the things he's given us, he wants to give us more. My cup overflows. He wants to give us more. Acknowledging him more. James 1:16, you know this one. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Do not allow yourself to be deceived. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and you and I belonging to him, all these gifts he's given us, provision. I mean, if he says, hey, look, I provide for the birds, and you want to worry that you're much greater than the birds, you don't think I won't provide for you? Of course, we work in different things, but he provides. Even when we're working, he blesses the work of our hands. He blesses what's in our hands because it's a gift from God. Amen? This is good stuff, saints. 1 Corinthians 12:13, as we move along. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. I'm telling you, and before he became the final drink offering, we weren't drinking nothing. Gentiles weren't. But because of him, we have the opportunity to drink of his Spirit because he's the one that gave the final drink offering. Now he's flipped it around, and he is giving the drink. He's giving the drinks. You realize that? He's giving the blessing. He's giving the opportunity. He's giving the strength in the inner man. So Jesus starts this conversation with, give me a drink. But what it was about was, I have a drink for you. He was pouring out as a drink offering to save you, but also to give you many more gifts. And we talked about that examples. You know, Paul used an analogy of the drink offering. Philippians 2:17, it says, "But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all." So for you and I believe it's this simple, brothers and sisters. My offering to God, the Lord, everything I have belongs to him, right? I'm open to being used any way, Lord, you see fit. My gifts belong to you. My money belongs to you. My marriage, my spouse, if you have one, belongs to you. Marriage is a gift of God. Kids are a gift of God. Believe it or not, your job is a gift of God. Don't be afraid to say to the Lord, use me any way you see fit, because he is only going to use you according to the gift set that you have, that he's given you. When it says he will give you the desires of your heart, I believe that is a tailor-made, that is tailor-made around the gift set that he's given to you. What keeps us from appreciating our gifts, saints? Hopefully it's not jealous of other people's gifts. Minimizing the gifts that God's given you. Looking at your flesh to determine the value of your gifts. A lot of us would be in trouble. It's through the Holy Spirit. As Gina comes, we're going to sing one more song. What I want to say here, this is what I believe a sacrificing today is saying, Lord, all the gifts that you've given me, I give them back to you. Everything that you've given to me, those people with a wonderful, pretty voice, they're worshiping the Lord. They're giving. That's your sacrifice of prayer. That is your sacrifice now, is giving back what God gave you. He's not going to call you to New Guinea unless he gave you a gift set that said you're going to New Guinea. People get scared of that. He's going to give you the desires as you grow in him. He's going to give you desires in your heart that are based upon the skill set, the gifts that he's given you. Saints, every one of us, regardless of where we're at in life right now, have gifts that he's given us. And so what is your sacrifice? What is this thing of going back to 1 Corinthians, Romans 12:1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice." What it is, Lord, everything that I've given you, give back. I was mentioning to John before service, even when we stand before him, it says we're going to cast our crown. Even the crown he gives us, we're going to give back to him. So what it is, when people have all these crazy ideas of what sacrifice means, somehow we can please God with all this certain sacrifices. But this is what I'm starting to learn through his scripture. Lord, the things that you've given me, I'm just giving them back. That's my sacrifice. That's how I please him. Remember the talents, the one, the five, and the 10 talents? They were just, God, you've given me, giving it back. Giving it back. So God's not asking you to do anything except say, Lord, whatever I am, whatever you've given to me, I give it back to you. And there's no telling what God hold for you. You know, the enemy will come against you. That's bad enough. Don't allow religiosity or thinking things that aren't God to be heaped upon you. What sacrifice means. What sacrifice, I'll say it one last time, is God, the gifts that you've given me, because you can't give him anything that would bring righteousness to you. Even he's our righteousness. Even he is our healing. Even he is our deliverance. Even he is our peace. Remember the gospel of peace. So everything is through him anyway. Even the gifts of the Spirit. What are they called? Gifts. Even the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Fruit of Chad, or was it? No, the fruit of the Spirit. So everything that he gives us. Saints, can we stand up? What I'd like to do tonight is we close in a song. If you're willing and able, just say, Lord, my sacrifice to you, and Lord, give me a new understanding, is that everything you've given me is yours. And see, it's a relationship of love. See, he's not wanting to make your life miserable. He's not wanting something from you that you can't give. He's not wanting that. What he's wanting is acknowledging that everything you are, everything you have belongs to him, and you say, Lord, I give it to you. Whatever that is. And tell you what, there is no gift that doesn't mean anything in the kingdom of God. That's not how God works. Man, when we stand before him, and some of our gifts that people said, that's nothing, God said, man, you don't realize how precious that was. I remember one guy giving me, years ago, giving me an exhortation of kindness. One sentence changed the direction of my life. That guy won't know until we get to heaven. He didn't think it was nothing. It changed the direction of my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
I can't wait to meet that guy. I'm sure he doesn't have any idea. So my point being there is, do not think little of any gift that you have. Amen. Just say, Lord, I belong to you. That sound good?
Yes, it is.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for resting in our hearts as good seed. And we thank you for your spirit right now watering that, Father God. We thank you for strengthening each one of us in you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for making us overcomers, Father God. Thank you, Lord. We give our lives to you, Lord. Lord, there's no telling what you do in the coming days, weeks, and months if we will have that, simply have that heart by faith in Jesus' name. So let's sing this song and we'll be dismissed. Amen.
How I long to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I'm abiding here in the shadow of the Almighty.